It's Britney, bitch. That's right. Today we are talking about the Free Britney movement, the Britney Spears conservatorship, the background. Oh, all the things. There's so much. So there's only one thing to do. Let's get into it.
Hey there. This is Get Legit Law and Shit, and I'm Emily D. Baker, badass lawyer for online business. I've been a licensed attorney for over 15 years, and I'm a former prosecutor. So yeah, I know some shit, and we're going to talk about the legal shit you need to know. But don't worry, this is not another boring business podcast. So let's get started.
So we talked about this on Instagram. And as I was diving into the Free Britney movement, so many of you on Instagram said, oh my goodness, can you please cover this? I don't know what's going on with Britney Spears conservatorship or the Free Britney movement, or I've heard bits and pieces, and I would love it if you deep dive. And I was like, I am going to do that anyway. So of course we can record an episode on it because I'm going to dig into it anyway. So let's share our work with the class here. I'm going to break this episode down, and it will probably be a little bit on the longer side. And then there will have to be a part two when the next court hearing comes up. I'm going to break this down into what the conservatorship is, what the history leading up to this was, where we stand now, and my thoughts on all the things. That's how we're going to go. Hopefully, we're going to stay in order. As always, I'm going to link a whole bunch of stuff in the show notes because there are all kinds of things. There are fan conspiracy speculations every single direction with this. There is social media activity on fan parts and on Britney's part that seem to indicate that she is subliminally calling for help. And then there are court documents and reportings of what is happening currently. So what's a conservatorship anyway? A conservatorship is a legal construct giving a person complete control, if you will, over another individual. Their medical decision, their financial decisions, their day-to-day life, all the things. This is more common when someone has dementia, someone is elderly, someone is nonverbal. You have a, you know, nonverbal adult who is unable to care for themselves. They would have a conservatorship because someone needs to make those decisions for them because they are unable to do that. It is unusual in this type of circumstance for this length of time, given Britney's age, her activity, her earning capacity. I mean, clearly she's getting something done because in the last 12 years, girls made bank. I mean, she's worth almost $60 million. And a lot of that has happened during the course of this conservatorship. There are less strict things that can be done to support Britney, things like legal power of attorney, things like medical power of attorney. But with the conservatorship, it will dictate everything. Now, whether this was right when it was originally put in place and whether it still fits now are two very, very different questions. And we will get into the history of how we ended up in this conservatorship in the first place. Because initially, I think this was probably a good thing for Britney. Is it such a good thing for her now? That's the question. And that is where the hashtag Free Britney movement is coming from. And this is not just a hashtag movement. There are other celebrities speaking out on social. There are people protesting her court hearings, like marching outside of the courthouse. There are fan videos and fan account. And there's like a Lawyers for Free Britney Instagram account. There is quite a lot behind this. And part of the conservatorship is that nobody talks about the conservatorship. Like, it's like Fight Club at this point. Part of the conservatorship is we don't talk about the conservatorship. The court documents are sealed, which is necessary for privacy because the conservatorship is all of her financial decisions, all of her medical. And we saw how damaging having her medical records released was back in 2008. And I will talk about that when I go through the background. Don't tangent, Emily. Don't do it. It's too early in the episode to go galloping off in a different direction. So things that she's restricted from doing under this conservatorship. And as I'm recording this, Britney Spears is 38 years old and she has two teenage kids. She has a 13-year-old and a 12-year-old. So this is, we are not talking about somebody who's young and naive, and we are also not talking about someone who is old and infirm, okay? She's restricted from voting, from driving, from having children or deciding to have more children, from getting married, from talking about the conservatorship, from using the internet without supervision, from posting on social media without it being approved, from giving interviews that are unscripted and without supervision. She is completely restricted from engaging in modern life. She's not restricted, apparently, from doing a 4-year residency in Las Vegas because somehow that works out. And that's part of what the Free Britney movement is saying. They're like, if she is so incapacitated to the point that she needs this type of control over her life, how is she working so much? And if she is capable to work and to carry on, I can't imagine a Vegas residency is not somewhat strenuous. I mean, the dancing alone and remembering the choreography, remembering the songs, all of it seems fairly strenuous. There weren't complaints that her residency sucked and that she wasn't showing up for performances. There was quite a lot of enthusiasm for it. So part of the argument here is, if she can do all those things, is she really so incapacitated that this level is needed? I am not going to say what needs to happen because I don't know the medical background. I can only ask the questions that all of us, I think, would like to see answered to make sure that Britney's not being manipulated by the men who are in control of her career at this point. Now, her dad is not the conservator at the moment, and I think that's a good thing, and that's where these court hearings are being delayed and moving towards. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But there are other ways that she could be financially managed that is not uncommon when people are celebrities, actors, even YouTubers, sports stars, where people will have a business manager who pays your day-to-day bills, helps you negotiate business contracts, sets your schedule. It's not that Britney wouldn't still have a team. And I don't think anyone's arguing like, everybody leave Britney alone, don't have a team. She's a celebrity of such that she needs a team. She needs someone to hire her security and pay her bills and do the things that she either doesn't have the time or the inclination to do, or the, you know, attention to detail. Because who likes paying bills anyway? If somebody was like, I will pay your bills and book your travel and make your food and clean your house, I'd be like, bring it on. But also, if I want to get in my car and go to Chick-fil-A and you tell me that I can't, I would be a really cranky human. Because sometimes, especially during quarantine, you need to get in your car and go. Remember how stir crazy a lot of us have been feeling. And you might be feeling this way too during quarantine, where it's like, but I can't go. I want to go out, but I can't go out. I want to go out. It's not safe to go out. I can't go to the grocery store. I can't go do the things I'm used to doing. Britney's been living that way for 12 years. Like, I can't go do the things I want to do. If I just really want to run out to CVS and get some new nail polish because I'm bored and I want to paint my nails, she can't do that. So that's part of the argument, is she so incapacitated that she's a danger to herself and cannot function? Or is she better served with a business team and maybe a power of attorney so she doesn't end up entering into legal arrangements that aren't good for her? And depending on whether there is some mental illness there, and I hate to even say mental illness because I think non-neurotypical is probably a better way to say that, because I don't necessarily think illness is the right way to couch a lot of our mental health quirks. But if there is something there where making legal decisions and business contracts is maybe best done with advisors, a legal power of attorney can cover that. There are allegations in the press that Britney doesn't like to take her meds, that she is bipolar. I know people who are bipolar. I think it's much more commonly discussed now than it used to be. But a lot of the people I know who are bipolar don't like taking their meds because they don't like the way they make them feel. And if you feel like you're being manipulated already and then people are medicating you, I can understand the rebelliousness and the, well, you're already taking my life away. Don't take away the way I feel. So I can understand where some of this might be coming from. But to really understand how we got to the point where for the last 12 years, Brittany has not had any control over her life and not even her work. If she didn't want to do a Vegas residency, her conservator could still sign her into a Vegas residency where she then has no choice but to show up and perform. That's crazy, right? Like that's a lot, because most conservatorships, you're not in charge of somebody working because they're not able to work, because that's why they have a conservatorship, because they're not able to care for themselves. So you're not signing them up to work and being like, dance, monkey, dance. You are making sure that they are cared for, that they have medical care, that they're not, like in the case of someone who has severe dementia, they're not wandering off and getting lost, that they are going to doctor's appointments. So it's very strange to see a conservatorship where somebody can actually make you work, make you release perfumes, make you do things that you may or may not want to do, or prevent you from doing things career-wise that you may want to do, which is where conversations about Britney's lost album comes up from her fans. And that gets into some of the conspiracy speculation about Britney's true voice, which I will get into. So the basics of the conservatorship: she can't make decisions for herself. Her father, though there is a new conservator now, but it was her father for most of the conservatorship. He's undergone some health issues. So the actual conservator at this point is a professional conservator. And part of what Britney was going into court for in August 2020 was to have that conservator appointed as the permanent conservator. And her dad is fighting that. Let's go through the history of how we got here. And a little bit of understanding and compassion, I think, go a long way here when we look at this in a timeline. I love a timeline. Quick story. So in law school, you work in the summers in between your different years. And one year I worked at the district attorney's office for Los Angeles County, where I eventually became a district attorney. I worked in crimes against peace officers, and I worked with the arson unit, which I loved. And one of the things I got to do all the time was make all these really complex timelines, because most of the arson that I was helping with dealt with pretty substantial fraud. And so when you have cases like that, a good timeline to show you all the shit as it falls into place is so helpful, because when you look at things in an isolated way, it doesn't tell the same story as when you look at it all together. So let's look at the timeline all together. I'm not going to start from Britney Spears starting as a performer all the way back on like Star Search and being a child star and being on the Mickey Mouse Club. I'm going to start from her kind of breaking out early 2000 and then having a very public breakup with Justin Timberlake in 2002, because I think you can start to see the pattern of behavior from there. So she breaks out as a solo artist after the Mickey Mouse Club, starts dating, you know, NSYNC's golden child, Justin Timberlake. I was more of a JC Shazay fan, but you know, and Lance Bass kind of had my heart too, but everybody loved JT. Totally get it. Great singer. Good sense of humor. Seems like a dude you could have a beer with, but I digress. Very public breakup of like pop's golden couple. And they could not get away from paparazzi, media, all of it, just speculating. And then Justin Timberlake released the Cry Me a River music video, which I went back down that rabbit hole researching this episode. And it's got the Britney lookalike, and it's insinuating that she cheated, which is fairly well documented that that was the allegation, that she cheated with her choreographer, Wade Robson, and that Justin was heartbroken. And then she had a response video and a response song, and it just back and forth. But it was her first big public breakup. And just briefly, leading up to this was a pretty quick run. Baby One More Time came out in 1999. She is signed at that point with Jive Records. She goes on tour with NSYNC. In 2000, she releases Oops, I Did It Again. Then early 2001 is when she performed Slave for You at the MTV Music Video Awards, when people actually used to watch it. I watched it. With that, she was carrying around that giant python. Dude, I still remember watching that performance because it was epic. So this is all pretty quick. And between, you know, Baby One More Time coming out at the end of, or the beginning of 1999 and 2001, she has three albums released and is on tour constantly, and then did that kind of weird movie Crossroads. And then the relationship ends. They had been, she and JT were dating for 4 years. Relationship ends. He releases Cry Me a River. She performs again at the MTV Video Awards. That's the one where she made out with Madonna on stage. I remember watching that too and being like, oh, there we go. Okay. And I think Christina Aguilera was like, but I kissed Madonna too right afterwards. But all the media could talk about was Britney kissing Madonna because she was Britney. I really wonder how Christina feels about all of it, because the two of them were pitted against each other. Where like Britney was like the angelic, sweet little baby one. And then Christina was like the dirty, like the dirty one, you know, she was like the raunchier one. And I'm like, both of their music is equally like sexualizing young women. I don't understand. But the press just pitted the two of them against each other from the beginning. Either way, 2002 is that breakup. And then she releases In the Zone right in 2003. And then stuff starts happening very quickly. Do you remember her 55-hour wedding? Like, she's the original Kim Kardashian with the quick wedding shit. She got married in Vegas to her childhood friend, Jason Alexander, who has popped back up again and was recently seen at one of the Free Britney rallies in front of the courthouse and gave a number of media interviews about it. And I wonder, is he fame-seeking? Does he really want to free Britney? But what we have to remember about Jason Alexander is he's also a childhood friend. He's not just super random. He's known Britney most of her life and grew up in Louisiana near her. So that was January 2004. And then comes KFED. So she gets married in January 2004. It's annulled after 22 hours, I guess faster than Kim Kardashian, which was like 55 hours. Then she gets engaged to Kevin Federline in July 2004. And KFED was one of her backup dancers, and she had been on tour. She had gotten injured. They were filming like a reality show. There was so much happening in 2004. And then they got married in September 2004. She has her oldest son, Sean, in September 2005, and then her younger son, Jaden, in September 2006. So now we're talking about Britney 2006 leading up to like the shaving the head. And she's had back-to-back kids that are, she teases and says they're essentially twins. They are born like a year, a little less than a year apart, because her oldest is the 14th of September and her youngest is the 12th of September the following year. So her kids are super close in age. And even though she's young, I mean, Britney was born in 1981. So at this time, she's still a young woman. But having two pregnancies that close together, nobody talks about what that does to you as a human. But all the mamas out there listening can imagine how you must be feeling having two kids this close together and being in the spotlight and being pushed, I imagine, behind the scenes on your career. And she's starting to have issues with the paparazzi chasing her during this time, and is seen driving with her young son. I'm sure you remember the photos, but seen driving with her young son on her lap. And she's given media interviews since saying that she felt that the paparazzi were being unsafe, and she freaked and like grabbed her kid and jumped into the car and was trying to drive away. But that was in 2005. Her son that was on her lap while she was driving was less than a year old, and she was likely pregnant with the second one while this was going down. And then people were, the news media was, Britney's a bad mom and Britney should have her kids taken away. Britney's being erratic. I'm like, she's postpartum and she's pregnant. Like, let's cut the girl some slack. I mean, hindsight now in 2020 is a little bit easier, but no one was talking about or having any compassion for this young mother in the spotlight. And then in November 2006, she gets divorced from Kevin Federline, and they go through this horrible custody battle and child support. The divorce doesn't go through till late in 2007. And during that time, during that divorce and custody case is when you have the February 2007 head shaving incident and her attacking a paparazzi car with an umbrella. And at this point, Brittany has said she was being hounded by the paparazzi and chased. And if you see any of those videos, this is before any of the paparazzi laws were implemented in California. If you watch those videos, she is trying to drive and there are paparazzi hanging out of cars, flashing cameras in her face as she's driving down the road. I can't imagine what being chased like that would feel like, but I can imagine feeling unsafe and being postpartum and not knowing what to do and how scary that must have felt. I empathize really hard with, is that even the right way to say that? I empathize so much with what that time must have been like for her. And I can start to see where the shaving the head and the not wanting to be controlled and the not wanting anyone touching you. And she said that in multiple interviews after the head shaving. She's like, I just don't want anyone to touch me. I'm like, she's now a mom of two very little kids. Find me a mom that hasn't felt like I just need everyone to stop touching me. And going through a horrible divorce and custody battle at the same time. And I'll mention this because depending on your age listening to this, this may or may not be in your frame of relevance. But while this is all going on for Britney in 2007, we're only 10 years away from Princess Diana dying in a car crash related to fleeing the paparazzi. And that was an event that kind of rocked everyone. I remember it so well. And most who were not young children during the time do, because it was a global thing. And it brought this discussion up about celebrity and paparazzi and what's going too far. And this was still happening for Britney. I mean, who doesn't remember? If you were, you know, not 8 years old or younger at the time, it's hard not to remember like William and Harry following along behind their mom's coffin in the funeral. Like it's just kind of stuck in your mind. There are images that become so prevalent in pop culture that they become a point of reference. And Princess Diana's death and funeral are one of those points of reference. I mean, the planes flying into the Twin Towers are another one. And some of these paparazzi moments for Britney are those moments where if you saw them, you remember them. And when I talk about the head shaving, you can remember the photos of her with her head half shaved in that salon with like her extensions coming out. Brown hair at the time, like dark, dark brown hair at the time, and like mascara everywhere, looking altered. You remember her like screaming with that big umbrella with the like hand, the big wooden handle at the end, just attacking that paparazzi's car. And you can start to understand why she might have felt so out of control. So all of that, all of that leads up to an incident in 2008 that's also, if you saw the media coverage, probably remember, where she is taken away from her home by ambulance. You might not remember that her being removed forcibly from her home by an ambulance was predicated by her refusing to turn her two babies over to Kevin Federline's representative for her custody arrangement and locking herself in a bathroom. It being alleged that she was under the influence. I don't remember if that was ever proven or not, but it was alleged that she was under the influence and her children were immediately, like the next day, taken away from her. She lost custody in an emergency order, giving 100% custody to Kevin Federline and was put on a 5150 hold at UCLA and was taken from her home by ambulance. And I think most of us, especially those of us that have kids, can empathize with what must have been going on for Britney to the point where she got to the point where she's like, I can't let these kids go again. It seemed to me, Emily's speculation, it seems to me that she was trying to hold on to some normalcy in her life and that being her kids while everything was spiraling out around her. And it just breaks my heart. And then the paparazzi being there while she's being taken away in that ambulance and all of the just invasiveness into her privacy reminds me very much of when both Anna Nicole Smith and Michael Jackson passed away. And there was paparazzi everywhere, tracking every move of the ambulance and trying to get into the hospitals and all of that. And then her medical records get released from UCLA and get leaked to the press. Over 13 hospital workers were fired for that because it's a violation of, you know, their employee agreements and the law and HIPAA and everything else. But to not even have privacy in your worst moments just exaggerates all of this. And that's when her dad ended up with the conservatorship. In 2008, they were trying to, they being team, the team behind the conservatorship, it seemed we're trying to stabilize Britney in a free fall and probably trying to save her, because we've seen this type of scenario not play out well for celebrities. And we've seen this result in celebrities dying young way too often. And I do think that given everything that was spiraling at the time, that her family was trying to save her life. I absolutely believe that. It seems like if Britney was your kid, that's what you'd be doing too. You'd be trying to do everything you could to protect her and keep her away from people who might take advantage of her, take advantage of her financially, manipulate her, blackmail her, leak things to the press about her, all of it. And you've got to remember, in 2008, Sam Lufty was also a character in Britney's life, and that was her manager who she had this weird relationship with. And there were a lot of allegations from her family that he was the cause of a lot of these issues. Okay. So there's this letter that has been leaked recently. I will link some of the articles talking about it in the show notes. It has not been proven to be from Britney. It is something one of her old photographers said she gave to him, and the conservatorship had destroyed through, I don't remember if it was through a lawsuit, but the conservatorship was trying to stop dissemination of this. And the conservatorship can argue this is false. It's false information. It's, you know, it's slanderous in ways. But it's allegedly Britney talking in the third person about all the events leading up to this stuff in 2007 and how on the inside of it, she was being lied to about what was happening. And so her perception of what was going on and what was actually going on weren't matching. And that led to a lot of the frustration and confusion and loss of control and eventual loss of her young children. So there's also this manager involved with this close relationship that the Spears family has said led to some of these issues. And in 2019, Sam Lufty was making comments about the conservatorship and other comments. And the Spears family, I shouldn't say the Spears family, Jamie Spears, her dad and conservator at the time, got a 5-year restraining order against Sam Lufty, including restraining him from talking about Britney, the conservatorship, and others. I wonder, like, there's a part of me that really just wonders if Lufty was shopping a book around too during 2019 that led up to this 5-year restraining order, because the stuff on social from my research wasn't a lot. I mean, granted, it could have been taken down from now, but I couldn't even find news reports detailing a ton of social media activity that would have sparked interest in this. So I wonder if a lot of this reared its head again because Lufty was shopping around a tell-all book in 2019 as the Free Britney movement was getting started. And as people are like, wait, this conservatorship thing is still going on. This is excessive. So her father, as conservator, got a 5-year restraining order against Sam Lufty and kind of shut it down. Maybe one day we will know more backstory on that, but I'm not holding my breath on that one, because one thing that has been consistent through all of this is the conservatorship has been attempting to protect Britney and shut everything down. Whether that protection has now gone to the point where Britney is so restrained in a way that's unnecessary is really, again, the heart of the Free Britney movement. And her family has started to speak a little bit. Her sisters made some comments on Instagram when Kanye West was making quite a bit of statements about his own mental health in his campaign for president. I don't think the two seem to be connected on his Instagram, but they're not really connected in a way that I can understand. But Jamie Lynn Spears was making supportive comments towards Kanye, and fans were like, dude, but talk about your sister. And she's like, it's not, my sister's health is nothing for me to comment on. And my sister's a strong, badass woman, which is the first time in a long time Jamie has said anything on social about Britney. And then her brother, Brian, gave this random podcast interview and talked about the fact that the conservatorship was needed at the beginning, but also questioning whether it should be going on or not. And her sons are now old enough to have their own opinion. And her son, Jaden, got on Instagram because the kids will tell us this happens in the Kardashian land too. Like Kourtney Kardashian's son will get on Instagram Live and just like tell the tea. I think they've taken Instagram away from him because I haven't seen anything lately. But Britney's son got on an Instagram Live and was talking a little bit about his mom and wanting her to be happy and wanting her to be well and wanting her to be free. So there's enough going on where her family is talking and her mom is fighting to become more involved in the conservatorship, keeping in mind that her mother and father are divorced. Her mother, Lynn Spears, her father, Jamie Spears, poor Britney's sister, just, it was like, we're out of names. You're Jamie Lynn. Those are our names. Anyway, this is all coming to a head because Britney's father was removed as conservator. Removed is the wrong word. He stepped down temporarily as conservator. He stepped down, he said, because of health issues. However, right around the same time, there was another custody issue that came up because Kevin Federline filed a police report against Jamie Spears, saying that he had assaulted in some way one of Britney's children, the 13-year-old, the older one. And both of the kids now have a restraining order against Jamie, which is not helpful to Britney because Britney is under the conservatorship where Jamie is the conservator. So now to be around her kids, she can only have supervised visits. So Britney now has a 90-10 custody where KFED has 90% custody. She has 10% and can only see her kids with supervision because of shit that her dad did. And there's a number of articles about this, but her dad did undergo health issues at the same time, multiple surgeries, allegedly almost died, according to news sources. And now there is this more professional conservator in place. And Britney is asking the court, or Britney through her court-appointed lawyer, because Britney's not allowed to hire her own lawyer because she's not allowed to spend her own money, because she's not allowed to make her own decisions, because she's under the care of a conservator. So Britney's court-appointed attorney has asked that she be given leave or permission to hire her own counsel and to have the temporary conservator made the permanent conservator, which would then permanently remove her dad. And it looks like her father is going to fight this. So in the August court hearing that Britney was supposed to have, Britney stands, and these are beyond the fans. These are the ride or die, leave Britney alone, stands, crashed the court Zoom call. The private court Zoom call was completely crashed by Britney fans, and the hearing had to be put over. But the hearing was going to be put over anyway because the court is giving both sides leave to argue these changes to the conservatorship, which tells me that this is something the judge in charge of the conservatorship is willing to consider. So even though the conservatorship has been extended into February 2021, we are in August 2020. February 2021 in court time is not that far away, and we're still dealing with a pandemic where court proceedings are moving much more slowly than normal. So for the conservatorship to be extended until February 2021 gives me no pause, because the court is asking for motions in September and then responses in October, and then set a next court date October 14th. So that timeline is a natural timeline to give the court time, but you also don't want this conservatorship to be set to expire as the judge is trying to make decisions right up until the date. So the court gave itself a little bit of room to make these decisions, and it might be that the conservatorship gets permanently shifted to the new conservator, and then it starts getting phased, and there becomes a phased plan to move this conservatorship into maybe a legal power of attorney, and then have a team who helps manage. It just depends on what the underlying medical records say. And you have to remember, the doctor that has been giving Brittany care for most of this conservatorship just kind of randomly died not all that long ago. So now there are new doctors involved. There is a new conservator involved. And maybe there is a new argument that Brittany is ready to start making some of the more basic decisions in her life. If she is not a harm to herself, if she is not struggling with such severe mental illness that she can't make day-to-day decisions like driving a car to go get food or who's allowed to come over to her house, the things that like we decide for six-year-olds, if she is in a place where she can do that, hopefully the new conservator will be less vested. And I can't tell if this is Brittany's dad being terrified that the fame and the media and the paparazzi and whatever is going to cause his daughter to die, or if this is somebody who's now more cynically financially so vested that they want to just keep her working. I can't sort out how I feel about that and which way that is, because I can see both being a real possibility. I can see a parent going overboard wanting to protect their child, especially a child that's in the spotlight who they see struggling. I can see and have seen where parents have a hard time looking at their kid as a 38-year-old and being like, oh, you're a grown-ass adult and things have changed, instead of looking at her going, oh my God, it's 2007 all over again. Oh my God, it's you being taken from the house in an ambulance all over again. It's you losing your kids all over again. It's we're one step away from that type of disaster again. And I don't know what side of that it is for Brittany's dad, whether it's just sheer terror and trying to protect your kids so hard that you've now prevented them from growing, or if it's, you know, your daughter has been a product since she was 12 and you're continuing to push that product. I really hope that this is parental love run amok with trying to protect and being terrified to let go. And this is a very extreme case of that, because it's way less dark than this is a product and the product was starting to go and have its own opinions and want to do other things. And that's not profitable for the product. So I am of two minds. I'm trying to stay on the less dark side of that. But you can see, right, as a parent, how this would be terrifying. And I think one of the hardest things to do as a parent is to let your kid grow and fail, to let your kid stumble, to let them learn how to pick themselves up. You want to, as a parent, and this is something that I struggle with too, you want to make it easier for them. You want their lives to be great. They have to learn their own grit, and they have to learn how to stand on their own two feet and to accomplish things for themselves, because our job as parents is to raise independent humans. And I think that in a very extreme case, Jamie Spears has seen child stardom go very, very badly, and that letting Brittany out of the bubble probably feels like he's just unleashing her to the lions. And he doesn't want to do that. So he's retaining control. Hopefully another conservator who is not her father will be able to look at this and evaluate her as a 38-year-old adult and say, you know what? I think that it's time to transition how restrictive this is. I don't think we will see a court just going, okay, conservatorship for over 12 years, no conservatorship. I think that if that happens, there will be a long and phased program to make sure that whatever the underlying reason is for this conservatorship, that that doesn't become detrimental to Brittany, because the heart of a conservatorship should be the well-being of the person under the conservatorship. So in October, we should see more about what's happening with this. And what I hope is that we see the new conservator remaining as conservator and maybe allowing her dad to step back into the role of a father who can love and support her, but cannot financially control and manipulate her. Part of the dark side of this, of the Free Britney movement, is her fans believing that she's not okay, that she is being manipulated, that she is being held hostage, that she is in trouble. And some of that comes from things like on Instagram, her fans will say, if you need help, wear yellow. And then the next Instagram post, she was wearing yellow. And that happened in different ways, like 4 times in a row. And so her fans were convinced, they're like, Britney is speaking to us through the limited way that she can, keeping in mind that her social media is also being monitored, but that Britney's trying to communicate with fans. Fans very much believe that that's happening, and she is signaling for them in the best way she can to help them, or to have them help her. It seems that she's aware of the Free Britney movement. She has repeatedly said things on Instagram like, thank you for the support. But most of what you see of her on Instagram is just her dancing. That's not a lot of her talking, not a lot of her engaging, just dancing. And that leads me to the other fan theory, or I don't know if it's a fan theory, conspiracy speculation about part of what led to Britney's breaks and the struggles that she has had. And that is Britney's voice. There is a lot out on the interwebs about whether Britney has ever been allowed to sing with her true voice. And there are, because Britney's been in the spotlight since she was like 8 and had performed on Broadway as a young child, there are a lot of videos of her singing before she signed with Jive Records in a much deeper, richer, fuller voice than the, oh, baby, baby, like baby voice. That you know what I'm talking about. I can't sing, but you know the Britney kind of nasally baby sound. I'm a former prosecutor, so it sounds like somebody who has been, oh, this sounds terrible, but it sounds like somebody who has been stunted in their growth due to abuse. God, I feel like Dr. Drew on Loveline. But if you've ever worked with people who've been through trauma, or you've been through trauma yourself, you can kind of see it. And Britney triggers that for me. And a few of you reached out on Instagram when I was talking about the Britney Spears voice thing and said, no, this is part of why this could be damaging. And I'll get to that after I finish the theory, but she just triggers those red flags for me. And some of that could just be the fact that she has been so controlled her whole life that she does trigger that, oh, this is someone who is a victim, for those of us who are familiar with trauma, because being controlled like that would in fact be traumatizing. Not saying that there's anything else there. Again, opinion. So the voice thing. So the conversation, or the conspiracy speculation, is when you look at older things, her voice is a lot different than the iconic baby doll Britney sound. And part of that was that her album and Christina Aguilera's album were dropping. And I think that there was this manufactured kind of good versus bad with the two of them. They had both come out of the Mickey Mouse Club and they needed to be distinguishable. So the fan theory is that her voice was retrained by her record label in connection with the team behind Britney so that she would be, you know, baby one more time, Britney. In my research for this episode, I watched part again, as I watched it before, part of her reality show, a couple clips of documentaries that I could find online, documentaries following her around on tour, and a lot of other things. And you can see her switching in and out of that voice. It does seem, from just what I watched, when she would catch the camera, she would slip back into it almost more like a character. Like, oh, this is my onstage persona. And it seems that the manufactured Britney image is not something that she's been allowed to drop and just be her. Because in the very few times she speaks on social, it is in a very affected tone and a very affected voice for a 38-year-old woman. There are moments when you watch her in interviews or shows where she slips out of it. And so part of that fan theory is that because Britney, the Britney that we see, icon Britney Spears, is so manufactured, it has damaged her as a human because she's never really been allowed to be her true self. She's not been allowed to live as she wants to live. She's been controlled her whole life. And then it gets into song lyrics, the conspiracy speculation, the fact that she is often choosing in creative direction to be in cages or chained or caged. She uses a lot of that imagery. She uses a lot of butterfly imagery of wanting to break free and be herself and embody herself and not being allowed to do so. And when I posted about this on Instagram saying I was researching some of the, or wanting to research some of the neuropsychology behind whether or not that could cause or aggravate mental illness, a number of you reached out who are psychologists, psychiatrists, licensed therapists, and we had conversations about how damaging this can be to a person, to never be able to express who you truly are, and for you to essentially be told as a human who you are fundamentally is not good enough. I mean, don't so many of us have those thoughts anyway? Like, oh my God, it's just not enough. But to essentially be said to you, you're not profitable unless you do it this way. Like, who you are isn't good enough. You need to change your voice. You need to very, very tightly control what your body looks like, who you hang out with, your image. That's what's valuable. The core of who you are is irrelevant to us. It is the shell that you present, and that's what's valuable. And it reminded me of reading about Neil Strauss's interview with Britney Spears in his book, The Game. If you are not familiar with Neil Strauss, he is a brilliant and fascinating human who was a reporter for Rolling Stone. His book, The Game, is fascinating. It is fascinating. it also talks about how he landed in rehab for sex addiction. But he talks about his interview with Britney Spears and his perceptions of her. And reading all of the Free Britney stuff brought me back to reading his perceptions in that interview about a person who was almost a shell of a person and was afraid to even open up that shell to have a conversation. And then he kind of ran the game on her to get her to open up and trust him a little bit and have a conversation. But looking at all of this history, I'm starting to see why there are times that Britney just completely shuts down because she's tired of putting on the performance 24/7. So at the end of all of this, I think the only way to free Britney is to allow Britney to be her true self. And whether that is to stop performing for a while, whether that is to regain control over her own career, whether that is to get a ranch in Montana and ride horses and paint pictures and, I don't know, learn to crochet and be with her kids, then that's what she needs to do. And I hope that she is able to, because none of us are entitled to her. And I would like to see her, like any creative person, making art that they feel good about and not just because it's lucrative. Because at the end of the day, bitch is worth like $60 million. She deserves a break. She deserves a break. Like, literally, the meme of leave Britney alone. I really just want everyone to leave Britney alone. I'm there with you. Leave Britney alone. Let her just be. She's iconic. She has worked her ass off. And I think she needs a break. And performing might be the way that she gets back to feeling sane, but she's going to have to do it on her own terms to feel like she's in control of her life. Because while she's doing it on somebody else's terms, how can you ever feel like you have control of your life when you're really just performing what people tell you to do. So I hope to see her father out of the conservatorship role, because my less cynical concerns are really that this is a parent trying to hold on to save their child, but that might not be in the best interest of the 38-year-old child, that a professional conservator can really help Brittany get back to having control over her own life in the way that is best for her, and that Brittany is able to find a way back to the core of who she is and really get to maybe explore for the first time who she actually is, what she enjoys doing, and building a life for herself that includes some self-determination, because all of us feel frustrated when we feel like we don't have control of our life. All of us act out when we feel that we don't have choice and things are just being thrust upon us and happening to us. It makes any of us feel overwhelmed. So I came away from all of this research with a tremendous amount of empathy, but also sadness that this is what happens to our celebrities. And I don't know what the answer for that is. And I don't know how we can have celebrity in a healthy way. And that's a rambling conversation for another day, or for our Friday live Q&A that goes with this episode, and to explore what that looks like, where we can have celebrity and entertainment, but also not ruin it. I feel like in non-celebrity heavy genres, like other musical genres, you don't get this the same way as you do with pop. But we're seeing this with influencers. We're seeing this with reality TV stars. We see this in other avenues of celebrity, and it's an interesting exploration. If you haven't read Neil Strauss's The Game, look, man, shit's fascinating. Everything Neil writes is fascinating. He has a new book out. This is not a plug for Neil Strauss. Neil, if by any way you stumble across this podcast, good to see you, man. It's been a long time since we got to chat at the Bulletproof Conference. Your new book is out. I think everyone should go read it. Everyone loves you when you're dead. I think that's kind of the point of this whole podcast, is that maybe we're trying to prevent Brittany from ending up there. But if you haven't read any of Neil Strauss's work, it's worth it. It is worth it. And if you want to come chat with me about this, I do the live Q&A following these episodes on Friday over on the Facebooks. We have the Facebook group, the Get Legit Community. Come on over and have a chat. I really think that there's a lot more that we're going to see from what happens in October with the Britney Spears conservatorship. But I also think that the Free Britney movement has this back in the spotlight and isn't going to let up. And I'm thankful for the attention it's brought, because it brings up larger societal questions of how we allow our celebrities to be entertainers, but also be self-determined people. And maybe that starts getting into the problems with cancel culture. But that is a conversation that we will have over in the Facebook group. Thank you for being with me today. I appreciate you. And we are still in the middle of a pandemic. So may your Wi-Fi be strong. May your toilet paper be plentiful. May your family be well. And may the odds be ever in your favor. I'll talk to you next week, friend. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode of Get Legit, Law and Shit, our show. And I call it our show because it's a conversation between you and me, has been growing so well. And if you found value in it, leaving a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast player would absolutely help support the show, or sharing it on social using the hashtag GetLegit and tagging me at Emily D. Baker so I can see it and share it too is a great way for you to support the show. And I so very, very much appreciate your support. We are hoping that the show will be part of the Amazon podcast launch. So the more attention we can get for the show, the more likely we are to be a part of Amazon's podcast launch. And that would make me absolutely thrilled and bring more people the information they need to empower their decisions. Thank you so much for your support.